Jaquetta Williams with you again. You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. We've had so much good stuff to talk about. My tongue won't quite work right on this microphone, but you know what I mean. Your Health Connection is brought to you by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. Now, Dr. Phillips, I wanted to ask you if you got angry, particularly when it comes to triple negative, because it's so tricky and you can't really treat it.
No, you can't. Don't say that.
Treat it, but I'm just saying it is a very interesting kind of cancer, should I say.
Interesting kind of cancer, and the frustrating thing about triple-negative cancer is that, you know, the standard treatment is basically the same as it was 10 years ago.
Right. Okay. We haven't made any progress,
and you do. I mean, when a young woman dies of triple-negative cancer, I get angry, you know. And
I think it's hope.
I really and truly feel that we will one day have a generation that our women are not, their lives are not threatened
By triple-negative.
Triple-negative.
Okay, we've got some people on the phone who have some questions. Before we get to them, I want to say something really quickly. You know, of course, when I was diagnosed, I allowed cameras to film everything,
right,
and I even allowed them to film inside the operating room. It took me 5 years before I was ready to look at that video, and I actually watched you operate on me and remove my tumor. It was the most weird, crazy thing. And of course, you know, I had a breakdown and then I pulled myself together because I was like, hallelujah. Okay, let's go to Dana out of East Point. Dana, what's your question?
Yes, my question is, with respect to mammography or thermography, would there be a preference for a treating physician that would steer their patient toward one or the other?
Yeah, you know, mammography is the standard tool for detecting breast cancer. Thermography is a tool that we really and truly have not embraced. It's difficult to, if you detect any abnormalities, it's difficult to biopsy it, you know. And I don't think any breast specialist would recommend thermography.
Ah, okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your question. We appreciate it. We're going to go to line five. Judy. Hey, Judy, are you there? Okay, no worries. Line one. Felicia, are you there? They're gone. Okay, no worries. Dr. Phillips, let's talk about one of the things. You mentioned the BRCA test, and that's not necessary for everyone.
Right.
What is it when it happens to where there are women who will go 5, 6, 10 years cancer-free, and then it comes back in, say, the 11th or 15th year? Is there any kind of study or anything that can be done for that?
No. Basically, what you have said is that metastatic disease, patients having recurrences, can occur at any time. I look at breast cancer as a lifetime disease. It does not mean that you will have cancer all of your life, but it does mean that you need to be careful because it can come back. And as you mentioned, yeah, it does come back and come back quickly, or it can come back, you know, 15, 20 years down the line. And I think any time it comes back, you know, it's devastating. Mm. I mean, I think early on, and I think you may be able to relate to this, you live, breathe, win.
Fear.
Yeah.
All the time.
Right.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I did.
And
but I think that's
the
normal.
Hardest, I think it's normal. I think sometimes we tell patients they need to put it on the back burners, but no, you cannot. It becomes a part of you.
Yes.
You know, it's almost like a red badge of courage.
Yes.
But you can't think about it 24/7.
No. And I don't now, but at, you know, in the early stages.
And as you get further and further, it will be less. And the fear, the anxiety that you have will be less, but I don't think when you go for your mammogram, you will always have that fear until you get your report.
Right.
It's just normal.
Let's go back to line one. Felicia, are you there?
Yes.
Hi there. What's your question?
Hi. Well, my question is that, is it possible that breast cancer can hide in your breast? Like, I was going to have an MRI. I had an MRI of my breast. and then they saw something in my right breast. And then they wanted to do a MRI, a guided biopsy. So when I came back like a couple of days later to do it, they looked there and they didn't see anything. They said it possibly could have been my hormones or some, not the doctor, but the radiologist said that. And even the doctor said it afterwards and said that they didn't find anything, so they weren't going to pursue it any further. But my question was, is it possible that, because I have dense breasts, and is it possible that the cancer might be in my breast and it could hide or something?
No. I don't know. No, the no. What your doctor was telling you is that during the time that you had your MRI, it probably was different from the time that you scheduled your MRI guided biopsy in reference to your cycle. And the breast tissue changed from one day to the next to the next. And particular, and how old are you?
Well, she's gone. Oh, she's there. Okay.
Yeah. So basically, it is not unusual for us to see something on your MRI, and then when we come to biopsy, that same little area is no longer there. So no, I don't think the breast cancer is hiding. MRIs are very, very sensitive, and if you're second, they probably say just follow up in 6 months.
Dr. Phillips, let me ask this, because I know that you're saying triple negative is more prevalent in the African-American community or just women of color. But there are women who are white who have been diagnosed with triple negative.
True.
But you don't see the numbers. The numbers are skewed as to Caucasian to women of color.
But if you look at how well they do with triple negative cancer, if you look at treatment, they get equal treatment. You know, white women are not doing any better, you know, in reference to African American. If you look at equal treatment, all right, if you look at African American women, there is a larger number of women who are presenting with advanced cancer, and that's why I'm saying equal treatment, stage for stage. If you compare triple negative, if you have an advanced triple negative cancer, it's going to be very difficult to treat. And that's why I go back, early detection. Early detection is going to be your best defense against any cancer, but particularly a triple negative cancer.
So it does not matter whether or not you have it in your family history. It does not matter if you don't have it in your family history. Just as a man or a woman, you need to be checking your breast, period. Bottom line.
Bottom line.
Do you have men who can be diagnosed with triple negative?
Oh, yeah.
Negative? You've had men who were diagnosed with triple negative.
Yes. Men have their overall survival rate with breast cancer in general is not as well as, they don't do as well as women because they present later stage. But if you get early cancer stage for stage, they do as well. It's all about the stage and early detection.
But
and we treat men cancer, breast cancer, the same way we treat women.
Right. So they have to get the mammogram and everything else. But I don't think most men would think that they need to check their pecs.
I think what happens if you have a strong family history of breast cancer, men, you know, as they grow older, they get, you know,
a little man, you know, you could fill in the other blank.
You just, you examine your breasts, you know, if you feel anything, just check it out.
Wow. Don't forget to call us, 404-880-9255, 404-880-9255. We want to answer your question, so hurry up and call us so you can ask. We only have about 8 minutes or so, so 404-880-9255. So what's next in regards to, you talked about clinical trials when it comes to triple negative. You talked about the fact that triple negative comes in stages. We talked about the BRCA test. If you are diagnosed, should you limit yourself as to how much research you do on the internet in regards to triple negative? Because I realized as a triple negative person, I had to stop. I had to limit myself because it did something to my spirit and my energy.
Yeah, I think it depends on the kind of person you are. I mean, some people just have to know everything. But yeah, you can get an overflow of knowledge. And at the end of the day, you have to understand the basics and then make good decisions. Your decision process is so, so important in your survivorship.
Do you have a lot of clients who, or patients rather, who are triple negative survivors and they never had a reoccurrence?
Yes. I want to emphasize to my audience, you know, if you get a diagnosis of triple negative, understand that, yes, it is an aggressive cancer. And off the bat, we will tell you that we are going to be aggressive in treating you. Understand, I emphasize, all triple negative cancers are not bad.
Okay.
You have to claim victory, you know.
I claim victory. I just, you know me. I'm a journalist.
I have to ask the question. Do what you have to do. Get gut treatment.
We have somebody online, too, who's going to answer your question. Are you there, caller line two? What's your name and what's your question?
My question is...
What's your name?
My name is Janae.
Okay, Janae.
And my question is calcification in your breast a form of cancer?
Calcifications can be a form of, the first sign of development of breast cancer. Usually it is associated with early, early breast cancer. Most often calcifications is associated with fibrocystic disease. So if someone say you have calcifications in your breast, you know, we look at calcifications and there's, you know, five different categories we put them in. If we think you... This is secondary to fibrocystic disease, you will be put in a 1 or 2. And 1 or 2 mean that it's benign, you don't have to worry about it, and you continue your annual mammograms. 3 means that we may be a little concerned there's something there, but we think it's benign, and we follow you up in 6 months to make sure it's stable. The risk of a 3 is from developing breast cancer is about 2%. 4, 5, and 6 are the ones that we need to biopsy. So majority of calcifications that we see are secondary to fibrocystic disease.
Thank you so much. Let's go to line 4. We have Brian. Brian, what's your question?
Yes, it's not really a question, and thank you for taking my call, but it's really a comment to the men out there listening. Please encourage your wives, your girlfriends, your sisters, your aunts, and whoever to get checked. I fortunately have not run across a problem in my family per se, but did have a very close friend who has passed away from breast cancer. So just want to encourage everyone to get checked out. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brian. We appreciate it. Let's go to line 6 with Celeste. Hey, Celeste, what's your question?
My question is, first of all, thank you for sharing as you have, but what do you recommend from a proactive state of preventing? I mean, you say take care of yourself. What can you do to help avoid, if you would, if it's not hereditary, getting cancer in the beginning from a health and nutritional standpoint, from a physical, what do you recommend on that side?
2 basic things that you can do: eat healthy and exercise.
I did both of those things.
The other thing is to weight gain. Watch your weight, particularly postmenopausal weight gain. So those are some things that you can easily do. We used to think, and when I say used, up until recently, we used to think cigarette smoking was not related to breast cancer, but there are a lot of studies now that is showing that it is indeed connected with breast cancer. So, you know, if you smoke, you know, stop smoking. Cigarette is associated with not only, you know, now, you know, cautious with breast cancer, but many other cancers.
And the bottom line, I would say, since I can speak on this firsthand because I didn't smoke, I didn't drink excessively, and I exercised daily. I also do a lot of green tea. I do a lot of turmeric root, and I do a lot of ginger. I do a lot of dark green vegetables, from spinach to cucumbers, the darker the better, every single solitary day. Hope that helps. Now, let me get to line 5. Hey, Sharon, what's your question?
Hello, my question is, I've had a double mastectomy. I'm a survivor. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about checking your breast. I've had reconstruction, and it's not breast tissue, so I don't get mammograms. And so I was wondering, what things do you look out for when you don't have breasts to check?
If you had what we call a skin sparing mastectomy, where most of your breast tissue, the skin is your normal breast skin, examine your breast. The other thing that you can do, depending on the kind of cancer that you had, you know, we do MRIs on our patients. So you still need to examine your breast. And remember, you know, you have underneath your arm, in your armpit, you know, the risk of you getting a cancer is in the order of anywhere from 5 to 8%. So simply because you had a double mastectomy, it doesn't mean that your risk for developing breast cancer is zero.
All right, Dr. Phillips Reed, thank you so much for joining us here on Your Health Connection. I hope we were able to inform you and give you a lot of information. Thank you so much for calling. And I'll see you next time, or you'll hear me next time on Your Health Connection. This is Jaquetta Williams.
You've been listening to Your Health Connection. This program is made possible by funding from the National Institutes of Health and the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. For more information, please call 404-880-6878 or go to www.ccrtd.cau.edu. If you would like to listen to this show on demand, just go to WCOK.com and click on the Your Health Connection page. For Jaquetta Williams and producers Dr. Kimberly Davis and Rob Maynard, this is Jamal Ahmed. Thanks for listening to Your Health Connection.